Want to speak to us tonight about the Holocaust. If you will, open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The Holocaust. The word that is translated burnt offering in the original is the word Holocaust. It was, as we see in verse 1, the Lord that spoke unto Moses about the Holocaust. In Hebrews 1, in verse 1, the apostle stated God at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And this is one of those times. In fact, if you take your concordance and look in the book of Leviticus, you will see that 33 times the Lord spoke unto Moses. As the writer said, at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That is, God spoke. The Lord spoke to Moses out of the tabernacle. Moses serves as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as a mediator. Arthur Pink, he gives 75 ways that Moses may picture or be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a mediator, the children of Israel, when God came down upon the mountain, the fire, the thunder, and everything, the people asked Moses for him to go up and to receive the word from God and then bring the word to them. And that's what we see here in the very first line of the book of Leviticus. Moses is the mediator. God speaks to Moses, and Moses speaks to the children of Israel. God has spoken to us in His Son in these last days. That's what Hebrews 1 and verse 2 says. Spoke in divers manners in times past unto the prophets, by the prophets. God has spoken, but in these last days, He has spoken unto us in His Son. The Lord Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. Philip, when he found his brother Nathanael, he said, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Moses is the human writer of the law. that is the five books of the Pentateuch. And he wrote of Christ, he wrote of him all through these books. And as we open up the book of Leviticus, the first offering we come to is the Holocaust, the burnt offering. And in reading about it and looking at it, we see that Moses wrote of Christ, that Moses spoke of Christ, that these offerings, beginning with this first one, all are pictures and types of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of God commands, this is God's command to all men, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That law, God's law, it must be perfectly obeyed that God might be just and the justifier. And as I read this chapter this past week, this is the truth that just sprang out to me. The picture in this offering called the Holocaust, his absolute, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, his absolute, perfect, complete love to the Father. With all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. Because all of this offering, you know, some of the offerings, which as you read, you see the priests were entitled to parts of the animal that was offered. Sometimes the offerer himself who brought the animal, he was entitled to some of the offering, but not this offering, not this burnt offering. This offering is holy unto the Lord. All of it is burned upon the altar so that it becomes, as you see in verse 9, unto God himself, a sweet savor unto the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, the apostle writing to the believers said, walk in love, even as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He offered himself wholly unto God. And he did that for us, as you sang just a few minutes ago in that song. It was for us. It was for you, if you're one of his children tonight, that he bled and died, gave himself wholly unto the Lord. Love God as you are required to love God, as our substitute. Love God perfectly. And how could he show his love to God, his dedication to God, his absolute love to God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, any more than when he was upon the cross and was willing even to be deserted of his Father for that time. He loved God. And as our substitute, his love for God is our love for God. Now, when you read through the entire chapter here of Leviticus 1, you see there are three divisions. Each division is speaking about the burnt offering, the Holocaust. But there's a difference because the first one is a larger animal, one of the herd, maybe a bullock. And then the next is a sheep. And the final one in the third division is that of a bird, two birds. God made it so that a person's situation, no matter what it was, if he was rich, if he was in the middle, just an ordinary person like you and I, or if he was a very poor person, there was a way that he could approach unto God, give an offering. Entire burnt offering. Let me point six things out to us tonight about this Holocaust. And they all point to Christ. First, the offering must be without blemish. Verse 3. If his offering be burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. It is to picture, it is to be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be without blemish. The Apostle John, who walked with the Lord, ate with the Lord, lay his head upon the Lord's breast the night before he was crucified, heard his heartbeat, handled the word of life. He said this, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin, without blemish. Isn't that wonderful? To think that there was a man in this world without blemish, without sin. There's only been one man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus, that this sacrifice, this burnt offering, is to picture. As our high priest in the letter of Hebrews, we read that he is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled, and separate from sinners. And that last phrase, they're separate from sinners, what does that mean? He was a man, but he was a son of a woman. He was the seed of the woman. He was not the seed of a man. He was separate from sinners. He did not partake of that contagion that man has translated generation after generation to those of his children. That contagion of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was separate from sinners. Yes, he was a man. Thank God he was a man, the God-man. But he was a man unlike all others, without blemish, without blemish. And then in Hebrews 9 and verse 14, the apostle said, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, now listen, without spot unto God. He offered himself unto God. He is the sacrifice. The sacrifice was without spot. The animal must be without blemish. You don't go out there in your herd and just look around for any old calf or steer or bullock or whatever you've got out there that's halfway dead and deformed and blind in one eye and bring that. No. This animal is going to picture the spotless, holy, perfect Son of God. He must be without blemish. The second thing we read, the offering must be voluntary. Also, we find in verse 3, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, was voluntary. His incarnation, he was not forced. He was not coerced into becoming a man. In fact, the scripture says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself. He did this himself. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Everything about him coming into this world and living and dying, everything was a free will offering on his part. His incarnation, then living in this world as a man, is a man who, as he said, had no place. The foxes have their holes and the birds have the nest, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He came into this world. He lived upon the gifts of others. He was a man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Adam, you see, had forfeited every right to the goods, the blessings of this world, the temporal blessings of this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ coming in our place and in our stead, he gave himself, and his life completely was a voluntary giving of himself. Turn with me to John chapter 18. The night that he was arrested and taken eventually to the cross, it's interesting to read John's account of this in John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, the words that we have in chapters 14, 15, and 16, when he had spoken these words, and then his prayer in John chapter 17, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. Now notice this, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. The Lord Jesus, he could have gone some other place. He could have gone to some other place. But no, he went to the place where Judas knew he would be found. Judas knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, "I am," they went backward, fell on the ground. The offering must be voluntary, a free will offering. Then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, 'Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none.'" Offering, the sacrifice, must be a voluntary sacrifice. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The third thing we will see in this Leviticus chapter 1 about this Holocaust is the offering must picture imputation. In verse 4, "And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering." The man who brings the offering, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. It must picture imputation. It must picture the transference of the sins of his people unto the sacrifice, unto the substitute, the Savior. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, the prophet said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." This man laying his hand upon the head pictured what God would later do. He would lay the iniquity of all his children upon his Son, the Lord Jesus. For he, that is God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who his own self, Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Can you enter into that and realize tonight that your sins, all of them, not most of them, all of them, were laid upon Christ, upon the surety, that God did that, that God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all of your sins, they were laid on Christ. And the fourth thing that this burnt offering shows us is it must picture substitution. Also in verse 4, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. I've come to appreciate that little word for. Have you? For. He shall put it, it shall be accepted for him. For him. It must picture substitution. It shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now this burnt offering represents or pictures to us the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Now the word atonement, you know it means reconciliation. That's one reason we like to break it down into those three words, at one meant. Because that's a good description of the atonement. It reconciles us unto God. We are at one with God. That division that had existed because of our sins is now gone. We are reconciled. We have peace with God. We're at one with God. The word atonement itself literally means to cover. It shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. When you think about the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ as a covering, it covers all our sins. From the justice of God, they're all covered. So much so that when that prophet, and God put the words in his mouth, Balaam, a false prophet, and he saw the tents of Israel, the camp of Israel, and he said this, he beheld no iniquity in Israel. Why? His elect, the Israel of God, the spiritual Israel of God, God beholds no iniquity in them. Their sins are covered because there's an atonement. And I tell you something else. It not only covers our sins from the justice of God, but it covers us from the wrath of God. Now, God will discipline his children. He will. No question about it. But it's the discipline of a reconciled, loving father. It's not the wrath of a judge. No, no. It's a discipline, and he that loves his children, the scripture tells us, will discipline his children. Here's the fifth thing about this offering. This offering must picture, now listen, it must picture the cruel death of Christ. He couldn't just die in his sleep. He couldn't just die in his bed at night in his sleep. Oh no, this death of the Savior, it was a cruel death. It was a suffering death. And it must be pictured in this burnt offering. The bullock must die. And you notice when you read this, we're not told who kills the bullock. We're not told the priest killed the bullock. The priest does sprinkle the blood. That's true. He does flay the animal. He does lay the animal in pieces. That's true. But the scripture, he shall kill the bullock. Can you see your sins as causing his death? That it was your sins that nailed him there to that tree? My sins, the sins of his people? The bullock must die. Its blood shall be sprinkled upon the altar. But also, I want you to notice, it must be flayed and cut in pieces. Flaying means taking off the skin. Some of you men are hunters. I know you like to hunt, and when you get a deer, if that's what you're hunting for, you string him up and you skin him. And then the inside, the fur, the coat's taken off, and you see the flesh. That's what flaying means. The outside skin is taken away, exposing the inner flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." He hath nothing in me. The devil tempted or tested him. And the more the devil tested him, the more he was tempted, the more his holiness shined forth. The animal must be flayed and cut in pieces. Must picture a cruel death. Number two, it must be laid in order upon the wood. Now, what does that mean? What does that picture, rather? It must be laid in order upon the wood. I suggest that it shows us that the many prophecies that we have in the Old Testament of him and his death, they all must be fulfilled perfectly. Perfectly. There can be no doubt. There can never be any question. Yes, this is the one who was promised all through the Old Testament. In fact, in John chapter 19, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. John says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished," listen, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." You have to lay it all in order. Those men must be around the foot of the cross gambling for his coat, yes. Those religious leaders, they must be encircling him like dogs. You saved others, save yourself, come down from the cross, and we'll believe in you. Everything must be accomplished that was written of him. And when the Lord Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. One last thing. I thirst. Because it was written of him in the Psalms that they would give him vinegar to drink. And so he says, "I thirst." And they took a sponge and put it up to his mouth, the vinegar. Then, and not until then, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, dismissed his spirit. And notice it must also be the inwards. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered physically. He also suffered inwardly, spiritually. The old writers, they used to say the soul of his sufferings was the suffering of his soul. Again, in Isaiah 53, "He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." And the last thing, the sixth thing, the offering must picture perfect, absolute love to God. It's all burnt upon the altar. It's all for God. Verse 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ obeyed God's law. He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. The law said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ did so, giving himself wholly to the wrath of God, to the desertion of his Father. And he did all of this out of perfect love. Perfect love to his Father and perfect love to his neighbor, to those who were given unto him in that everlasting covenant of grace. I pray the Lord will take these words and bless them to all of us tonight, and we may be enabled to go away thanking the Lord for Jesus Christ our Lord. That, yes, I failed. I failed miserably to love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my being. Yeah. But he has loved God for me. Yeah. And his love to God is my love to God. And I'm accepted in him. And as he is, so am I in this world. Let's turn to number 515, Beulah Land, and let's sing this hymn, Beulah Land.